from the Gospel of Matthew, the 26th chapter. Now when evening came, Jesus sat down with the 12, and as they ate, he said, I say unto you, one of you will betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful and began everyone to ask of Jesus, Lord, is it I? The event we come to observe and celebrate tonight concerns a meal. The meal did not take place in a palace. It did not occur in one of the world's great restaurants. It did not occur in one of the world's famous houses. It took place in the upper room of a house in which we know neither the address, the condition, nor the owner. There were 13 people present at this meal, and only one of them had any sort of public reputation at all, although he was not known beyond a radius of 150 miles from his hometown. Moreover, he was killed the day after that meal as a disturber of the peace. The other people who attended this meal were young, laboring men whom nobody had heard of before or ever expected to see again. This was definitely not a banquet. The meal consisted of the bare, inexpensive necessities of life: bread, wine, and friends. And yet, this meal, so hidden, so apart from the great stream of historical events, so obscure, so apparently local and transient, this meal is now celebrated and remembered and reenacted by people in every country in the world on this Maundy Thursday, and then again all around the world on Sunday mornings, every Sunday morning. How extraordinary. Well, let's look again and imagine the atmosphere of this meal, this Last Supper. It is an emotional event. Jesus knows the keen sharpness, the forsakenness, the inner angst, the sharpness, the loneliness, which always accompanies us in our most trying and decisive moments. The disciples are no doubt cognizant that things are not going well, that something fateful, something important is about to happen. The whole occasion feels like a threat. Just prior to this supper, Jesus has been saying strange things about death, about the end of the world, and he has hinted that he himself is about to die. Suddenly, they are ready to eat, and Jesus shatters the already tense atmosphere with the awful statement, which I've chosen for our text tonight, when he says, one of you will betray me. And the disciples say to him, one after the other, they ask, Lord, is it I? Now, if you approach it logically, that is a ridiculous question to keep asking over and over. There's no need for everyone to ask that question of Jesus. The betrayer is among them. The arrangement has already been made. Jesus knows who will invite the Roman soldiers and seal his betrayal with a kiss. Maybe the disciples feel the guilt of the betrayer, a collective feeling of guilt. There is such a thing as collective guilt. Shared guilt. Lord, is it I? Therefore, that question becomes not just a question of biblical interest, it's the burning question of modern life, the matter of collective corporate shared guilt. It implicates each one of us. For instance, the shared guilt of wars, of bombings, of invasions. Currently, the guilt of targeting Muslims as terrorists, of labeling immigrants as criminals. Let us resolve to not scapegoat, to not hate, to not be trapped in sins of racism, prejudice, and ignorance. May we recognize that we are part of a larger collective, the world. Every person deserves to have a good life. It's not the way of Jesus to turn a blind eye when people are suffering. If we can mobilize and help rather than pretend no one is hurting, that's a basic, good first step. In all these matters, we need to ask the disciples' question of ourselves, Lord, is it I? Tonight, I remind you that this communion table is not owned by the powers that be. It is not the economy's table. It is not the government's table. It is Christ's table. Where strangers become neighbors. Where the traveler finds rest. Where the wounded are welcomed. Where many people become one people. Where ragamuffins and prodigals get the seat of honor. This is not a table of perfection. It's not a table of sameness. It's a table of rearrangement. At this table, no single culture defines holiness. No accent is closer to God than another. No race, no gender identity is a theological problem to solve. At Christ's table, the center is not power. The center is love. The center is wounded, sacrificial grace. The center is God who invites us to make room for our neighbors. Grace has many accents. Belonging is not built on exclusion, but on shared vulnerability. The church does not become weaker when it listens and embraces what seems different. It becomes stronger. Community over fear. Neighborly love over exclusion. A wide table strengthened by differences, not despite differences. Christ is our centerpiece, and all will find their place here. So on Maundy Thursday, we ponder the betrayal of our Lord, the personal, individual betrayal, as well as the corporate, universal, shared betrayal, because the truth is, we are all guilty. I consider how many times and in what ways I will betray Jesus before this time tomorrow night. How many times in a single day? And when we honestly ask that question of the disciples, Lord, is it I? We must be prepared to hear Jesus' painful reply of, yes, yes, it is you. For we are all essentially, corporately, individually, even existentially, we are all guilty of betraying our Lord. So the Bible says, when evening had come, Jesus sat down with the 12, and as they ate, he said, one of you will betray me. That statement is still shocking, don't you think? And then the Bible says, the disciples were exceedingly sorrowful and began, every one of them, to ask of Jesus, Lord, is it I? Tonight, have the faith. Have the faith to say, yes. Yes, Lord, I know I have betrayed you. Forgive me. Please take my sin away and let me sit at your table. Amen.